yo, what up, Big Ant? It's your boy, Uncle Vin Rock, from the legendary Naughty by Nature. So listen, bro, I want to congratulate you on the first season of Sinise Unfiltered Podcast. You're doing your thing, bro, and I know you're already making a huge impact, and I can't wait to see what the second season has in store, all right? You down with Sinise Unfiltered? Yeah, you know me. It's your boy, Uncle Vin Rock, man. Keep doing your thing, bro. Peace.
We gon' talk about everything. Yeah, we gon' talk everything. Speak your mind, cause we gon' speak everything. Sinise Unfiltered Podcast. It's Sinise Unfiltered Podcast. All things dealing with sports, wrestling, and music. Politics, everyday life, man, you need it. We gon' speak everything. Speak your mind, cause we gon' talk everything. You're now tuned in to Anthony Sinise Unfiltered Podcast. A hip, fresh, unfiltered perspective on all things dealing with sports, wrestling, music, politics, everyday life. Bless everything. Speak your mind, cause we gon' speak everything.
Sinise Podcast. Sinise Unfiltered Podcast.
What up? This your boy Ant. Thank you for tuning in to the Sinise Unfiltered Podcast. I want to wish all of my Sinise Unfiltered maniacs a very happy Thanksgiving. And I want to let all of you know how thankful I am to have you here with me and tuning into me and supporting me each and every week. I love you guys so much and I appreciate it so much. And while we're talking about that, let's make sure this holiday season, we let all of our loved ones know just how much we love them and how thankful we are to have them in our lives. There's too much shit going on this year, and we're not promised tomorrow, so let our loved ones know how much we care about them today. All right? Yo, so on the show this week, I have a very, very funny comedian from Chicago, Erica Nicole Clark. She is the daughter of a very, very famous father, and you will find out in this interview, and she also has a very funny Michael Jordan story. As we talk about some of the funniest comedians of all time, I look at guys like Richard Pryor, Red Fox, Bill Cosby, Eddie Murphy, who set the standard bearer for a lot of these other guys to come. We had Robin Williams, Jerry Seinfeld, Cedric the Entertainer, Bernie Mac, Steve Harvey, Kevin Hart, just to name a few. And she's going to follow in their footsteps and make a stamp on history and let everybody know who she is. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Sinise Unfiltered, Miss Erica Nicole Clark. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome to the show the funny Erica Nicole Clark. How you doing today?
I'm good. How are you, Anthony?
Oh, I'm doing good. I'm doing good.
Well, that's good to hear.
Yeah. So, you know, I'm glad to have you on the show. It's an honor to have you on.
Oh, thank you.
Yes. I want to apologize if the connection is kind of bad. We're expecting a storm here in Orlando, and our Wi-Fi is not working, so hopefully we can get through with a good connection here.
Okay.
All right. So how are you doing with the pandemic there in Chicago?
Well, we had a couple months of, where, you know, the restrictions were lifted a little bit and you can have 50% capacity, things like that. Mm-hmm. But we went back downhill. So now everything is closed and is back to being shitty again.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Here in Orlando, we were one of the first states to, open up everything and try to get back to normal. But our numbers continue to rise. Mm-hmm. And, our stupid governor, Joe Biden said, once he gets elected in, he wants for 2 months, everybody has to wear a mask,
Right.
And this guy's like, well, I'm not going to go by then. He's not going to tell us what to do. I'm like, come on, man. Like, you already fucked this up. just follow the instructions, man. Just follow the instructions. My goodness. But hopefully we can get back to New York. I know it has to take a toll on you and your career, right?
Yes, it is. Yes. Because, it's just so much. I didn't realize how much I missed it until it came back in August. And it's like, man, mm-hmm. I miss being on stage. And So to have it like taken back again, it's like, damn it. I hope that we're able to somehow get control of this so we can kind of go back to normal.
Yeah, this is bananas. It's crazy. So you grew up in Chicago,
Yes.
and there's a lot of, speculation in Chicago, the violence and everything. Tell me about growing up in Chicago, and I want to talk about too the black on black violence in Chicago and what's being done to solve that.
Well, see, I got to be honest though. So when I was a kid, I only grew up in Chicago for the first like 5 years of my life, and then I
Oh,
moved to
okay.
the suburbs. And then I moved back to Chicago like when I was older. So it's weird. It's like Chicago has always been since I was a child to now. It's just more like you can see it on social media now. It's always been a violent city. You know,
Wow.
it's always at the Al Capone. Like I remember in grade school, and like there's a couple stretch of years where it was like the murder rate was like 900 and something a
Jesus
year.
Christ.
Yeah. So it's like even with it now, I think it's like between 500 and 600. That's still less than it is. Yeah, in the 90s there was a stretch where it was like 900 and something per year. It's always been a violent city, but it's I don't know, it's weird. People from Chicago say this, people from outside of Chicago don't say this. If you came to Chicago and visited, or you would be like, this is the greatest city I've ever been to. Like you it's I don't know, it's just weird. It's a great city. I hate the violence, but yeah, it's a fantastic city.
Let's see. I am a diehard Chicago Bulls fan from over 35 years, and I would love to go see a game in Chicago. But I'm like, man, I go to Chicago, I'm gonna have to get off the plane, go straight to the arena, get right back on
No, see, that's
the
what people think. They think like, oh man, you gotta be quick, and then they like they hang out and they be like, wow, this is fantastic. This is great.
Yeah,
Yeah,
awesome.
no, you have to experience Chicago. It's like one of those cities you kind of fall in love with.
Definitely, definitely. Oh, so when did you decide you want to be a comedian?
I kind of always wanted to do something in comedy, so my mom, I don't know if you know what Second City is here in Chicago, like the improv school.
Yeah, no, I don't know what that is. No.
Okay, so there's an improv school in Chicago called Second City, where like everybody on Saturday Night Live studied it, and so like, and you can take classes there, but they also have shows like every night of the week, or they used to. But yeah, it's pretty prestigious because yeah, everybody on Saturday Night Live went through this school. So my mom for my birthday bought me classes there. And so I took the whole training. The whole training is like 2 years. And so then they put me on an improv team, and like I was in improv, and I knew I liked comedy a lot. I just didn't like it with like nine other people on stage. So like on a whim, I just tried, like I went to open mic and did stand up. And then yeah, I was bitten by the bug. Yeah. So that was like 9 years ago. So yeah.
Okay. And you also studied at the Improv Olympic in Chicago, right?
Yep, I
Oh.
studied there, and then now I teach at Second City, and I teach for real, yeah.
Okay. So you performed at the Laugh Factory, the Comedy Store, the Improv, TBS Just for Laughs Festival. What has been your favorite place to perform so far?
Ever I was like 2 years ago I went on tour with Hannibal Buress, and so my favorite we went to Montana, and I know that sounds crazy like you just like what up, but I have never like felt the energy like they were lined up like 3 hours before the show like started. Yeah, they were like, because I mean it's Montana, it's not shit else to do. Like I felt like the entire city was there. Like that was the craziest, like most like I mean, yeah, they were on 10. It was like I felt like I could like I'd never been in Montana because what would be the point of going to Montana? But yeah, like, so I was kind of nervous because I can be a little dirty, or maybe I can be a little like racy, or like, mm-hmm. I was just like, I don't know what these people are like. So I'm just going to do it. Cause we did a lot of, we did like Idaho, we did Montana, we did Utah. Like, so I was just like, I don't know what these states, what these people are like, but yeah, like all of those shows was great. But Montana was probably the greatest. It was like 400 people. It was a perfect show. Yeah. I've never, that was the best show I've ever done in my life. Man.
All right. Nice. Nice.
Mm-hmm.
So what are the joys of being a comedian and like and being on stage, the rush of it? Explain that rush.
The rush of it. I would say like like the last rushes that I've gotten from comedy is like, you know, like in your house, you think of something that's funny, you write it down.
Mm-hmm.
And when you finally say it on stage and they get what you're trying to, you know, say and they laugh, like that's like the best feeling of all. Like, I don't know, like all my life I just wanted, like, because comedy for me was like, if some dumb shit was going on in my life, like I could watch stand up and at least forget about it for a minute. Like, mm-hmm. and that's always what I wanted to do for other people. Like, I just wanted somebody to like just have gotten dumped or something and then like see 10 minutes of my stand up and like they forgot about it for a minute, you know, like that's really all I ever wanted. So that's a rush for me. It's like trying out new stuff and it hits and it works.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Who are your favorite comedians? Who are your top five comedians of all time?
Of all time. Yeah. Okay. I would say Eddie Murphy.
Yes.
Dave Chappelle.
Mm-hmm.
I think Kat, when Kat is like on like when like the Pimpin' Chronicles, I think nobody could really touch him. Roseanne Barr is my favorite stand up female, and then George Carlin.
Oh wow, okay. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That's an awesome list. See, me and my buddies, we get into it a lot about Cat Williams. Because I think Kevin Hart is funnier than Cat Williams because to me, in my opinion with Cat Williams, like a lot of his stand-up and a lot of his shows and stuff, like he kind of says the same stuff over and over.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So to me, I just think Kevin Hart is better. That's just my opinion. But yeah, me and my boys, we go at it all the time with that one.
Right. See, that's what I think. Like the later stuff of Cat, I'm like, damn it. I was like disappointed. But like his first one, like, when all this shit was new and like,
exactly.
I thought like, damn, he's untouchable. Like now I feel like, damn it, I'm hearing the same shit that you said before.
Yep.
Ooh. So, I love Kevin Hart. Kevin Hart is very funny to me as well. It's just like both of them, like when they were at their peak, like Kevin Hart would like laugh at my pain. Like it was like nobody touching him.
Yep.
Yeah,
and you mentioned Eddie Murphy. What's your favorite Eddie Murphy movie?
Oh, my favorite. It is a toss up, okay? And this is like only reason why is because like I waited so long to see. So I always loved Trading Places, right?
Okay.
Always loved Trading Places. I thought it was just funny and like him and Dan Aykroyd was funny. But I saw Bowfinger by myself. And I waited like a while to see it. Like my mom saw it and she was like, oh, it was funny. I don't know what I was thinking when I saw it, but it just, I don't know. It's just one of those stupid ass, silly movies.
Yeah,
like, I don't know. It seems like they were having fun making it. Like it's no big, like deeper meaning and shit like that. It's just silly and dumb. And Eddie Murphy playing like the dorky version of himself. Like, I don't know why. That's like his current movies, that's one of my favorites.
Okay, my favorite is Beverly Hills Cop. When
I love Beverly Hills.
When I turn that movie on, the family leaves the room because I say like every line of the movie, like, oh, Dad, come on, man. Yeah, I love that movie, and I'm hoping we can get a Beverly Hills Cop 4. They're doing all these remakes of movies and stuff. I'm hoping he can do something raw like that again. I know they said they have, I think, Coming to America coming out again soon. I think. Not sure if that's accurate or not, but you know they always say that, and then you wait and wait and wait. So, go ahead, sweetheart.
No. Yeah, I was going to say, yeah, Beverly Hills Cop. Like, I love that movie just because that was like, I don't know. It's like certain people who I really look up to. It's like when I look at like what's going on in their lives at that point, like, yeah, Eddie was like unstoppable with Beverly Hills Cop. Like, he was super young. It was like, it was before he had come out with Raw, but it was after Delirious. It was after Saturday Night Live. Like, you know what I mean? Like, he was, that was his third successful movie in a row. Like,
I love it. So what are your future plans?
I do not know. I'll be real with you. It's like, I know what if you would ask me this 12 months ago, I would have told you, but like this, it's like, I don't even know what, like, my goal was to tour with someone else again, you know, or possibly try to go back into improv so I can kind of work on, I'm not a good actor. I'm a good improviser, but I'm not a good, like, here's the script, read these, memorize these, you know, I'm just not. So I was kind of like, that was one of my goals for this year, was to like improve on that so I can kind of increase my chances of maybe being put in a movie or something. Since I don't think that's going to happen, like any movie, I mean, I don't know. So it's like, I kind of just want to write more material. Maybe finish out some of the scripts I've started. That's pretty much it.
Okay. And see, also, sometimes you're feeling for a radio show in Chicago. Talk about that.
Yeah, I used to. It's been a couple years for that. Oh, really? But I mean, it's not like there's a morning radio show called WGCI, The Morning Riot, and the hosts were two comics. Were pretty well known, Tony Schofield and Leon Rogers. And they had a third woman with them, but she had to take a leave of absence for like 6 weeks. So I filled in for her. And that was a great time. Mm-hmm. I mean, it was hard getting up. It was hard waking up because it was like from 5 a.m. to 9 a.m., you know, but it was like the first time. To be honest with you, it was the first time me doing like comedy or me making jokes and like having to be conscious of like not cursing. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And stuff like that. Like, it was like even though it was only for like 6 weeks, and then I did it randomly here and there anytime she was out. But like, yeah, it was one of the times where I learned like, okay, I can be funny. You know, without cursing.
Yeah.
I choose not to be, but I can definitely maintain, you know.
Yeah.
So. Okay.
So who has been your most positive force in your life?
In my life, I think I get a lot of humor. Well, my mom passed away, but I got a lot of humor from her. Mm-hmm. Not necessarily like, it's hard to explain. My mom was a nice person in action, but not in voice. You know what I mean? She cursed a lot and always it sounded like she was more angry. And she was always a person that took, because I used to have a lot of fear getting on stage. And so my mom would always tell me to get angry. And it helped me immensely to be angry while I'm on stage, in my deliverance of jokes and stuff like that. But yeah, she was a huge influence. And usually my friends are, because a lot of my stand-up, even though I take it as it happened to me, a lot of things that happen to me is like situations my friends tell me about, you know?
Yeah.
So I use their material and stuff like that.
Okay. Who would be your dream person to work with? Like in a movie or a comedy series?
Oh, Mr. Murphy.
Oh, there you go.
That was like, you just reminded me. That was my 2020 goal because he was, he announced last year when he was on some talk show that he was going to go on tour this year. Mm-hmm. And I was just like, I met him when I was little, but I was like, I want to be on that tour.
Yeah.
So Okay. Yeah, that was that would be the dream.
Well, you will get there. You will get there. You will get there. So, you know, a lot of people who may not know, well, they're going to know now, but you are a daughter of a celebrity.
Yes.
Introduce your father. Let everybody know who your father is.
My father's Mr. T, you know, that 80s star from Rocky III and A-Team mm-hmm. and DC Cab, all that fun shit. Yeah.
Yep. How was it growing up being a celebrity's daughter?
It's like to me it was normal, and then when I would explain it to other people, mm-hmm. then I was like, oh no, it wasn't normal. Like, oh, that's not the norm. Mm-hmm. It's like, even with, you know, like, I got to meet a lot of people, and I was always like, it's weird, like, looking back on it, like, my dad wasn't home a lot when I was really young. I mean, mm-hmm. probably up until I was like 16, he was home maybe like 2 or 3 months out of the year. Mm-hmm. So either we were going to where he was at, or, you know, we were always going out of town. So to him, like, to me, he was always just fun.
Yeah.
Like, he just represented fun to me. But, yeah. You know, it's just like, I'm about to be in some city I've never been in, or I'm going to see somebody on TV that I've always wanted to meet. So, it was definitely interesting and fun, but yeah, it was a trip. Like, it's just like little things now that I realize, like, mm-hmm. oh, okay, everybody didn't do that at home. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, well,
go ahead.
No, so I was a big fan of your father's. I love the A-Team. You know, Mr. B.A. Baracus, you know, the black dude on the show, the Mr. Badass didn't take no shit. And I am also, you know, a huge WWE, WF fan back then, WWF. And, okay. he was such a huge part in WrestleMania 1 and WrestleMania 2, mm-hmm. You know, then getting inducted into the WWE Hall of Fame. Were you there for his speech?
I was not there. I saw it. I forgot where they were when they filmed that, because I was out of town. I didn't go to that, but I did go to WrestleMania 1. Oh, yeah. 2.
Oh, man. Wow.
When I was a kid. Awesome. Yes. That's what I'm saying. It's stuff like that. Like, when I was a kid, we were still on the south side of Chicago. Mm. And, like, I remember going and then coming back, and, like, it was like a couple days I missed of school, and then I came back and everybody was like, where were you? And I'm like, oh, I went to WrestleMania with my dad. They like, shut your lying ass up. Like, you lying. Oh my God, swear to God. You know, and it's like, it was hard because my dad spent most of the time out of town. He was only home during the summer. So it's yeah. like, in school, it's like, I'm just little lying Erica and shit. Like, nobody's believing me when I'm like, okay, I promise you he's my dad. He's just not in town. So, but yeah, I went to WrestleMania. I met all the, I don't know what they call them, if it's like the original 12, but like, you know, like Junkyard Dog and of mm-hmm. course Hulk Hogan, but yeah. like, Andre the Giant,
yeah.
the Iron Sheik. I met all them.
Nice, nice. How's your dad doing?
He's good. He's in he goes back and forth from LA to Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't talked to him in a couple weeks, though. He was in LA, but he's doing good.
That's good.
Yeah, just chilling.
Okay.
He's not sick or anything yet.
Well, that's good. That's a good thing. So that's what we were talking about earlier. You know, we're talking about the violence in Chicago. How? Uh-huh. What do you think could be done to stop this violence? Because one thing I hate, and I talk a lot about it, we have our Black Lives Matter group, you know, and it seems like the only times we want to scream Black Lives Matter is when it's, you know, a white cop versus a black person, you know.
Right.
But there's so much black-on-black violence in Chicago, you know, and you know, where I'm from in New York, in Rochester, New York, there's a lot of black-on-black crime too, but it seems like we don't scream Black Lives Matter when it's black on black, when we should be doing it all the time. You know,
right.
how do you think, how can we try to fix this in Chicago? Is there anything being done?
I don't know. You know, there's so many different programs. And like I said, I did not grow up in the city. And I feel like, I feel like there's so many different layers of issues. But I remember reading one, I read someone say something once, and it was saying that Black people, particularly Black men, are born into a world where, like, their lives really don't matter, mm-hmm. in the sense of, like, one or both parents aren't around. They have, like, subpar education. We have subpar, like, food. You know, like, there's places in Chicago, Illinois, where there's, like, food deserts, you know, where you can't even get, like, go to a grocery store. You just have to go to a corner store. And then you're going to a school that's, like, ranked 49th, you know, out of the mm-hmm. 50 states and stuff. It's like, it's kind of like there is no reason to live past 18, because what for? You know, like, I heard someone say that and I thought, like, damn, that's fucked up. But I don't know. I really don't know. Like, I don't know. I feel like it's so many problems. And yeah. I don't know, maybe it's just manifesting itself with, like, violence.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Because you don't necessarily see a better way to handle shit. I don't know. Like, yeah, I don't know. I can't even give a clear answer. I just know that it makes me sad.
Yeah.
And like they said, I also read another statistic. I don't know how true this is, but it said the most crime in Chicago is between two people who know each other.
Oh, wow.
And I can, I mean, in the sense of, like, not like they're friends, but, you know, like,
mm-hmm.
either one or both knew it was coming. So, yeah. I don't know. I don't know why people don't care about their lives. And if they don't care about their lives, they nobody damn sure else don't is. Care about anybody else's yeah. life, right? Yeah. And so, like, that that worries me. It also makes me, like, I don't know. It's just, like, a fucked up thing, because I also think, like, if there's two people who are beefing over whatever and they decide to take one person's life, I feel like that's a and this is going to sound crazy, but I feel like that's a decision between them two. I don't understand why
mm-hmm.
innocent or other random people always get injured. You know, like,
yeah.
I was reading something and they were saying that Einstein said that you can't be scared and mad at the same time. Like, those two emotions can't be working at the same time. Either you're mad or you're scared. You can't be both.
Can't be both. Yeah.
And so it's like, they were talking, they use this quote in an article and saying, like, you have people who are so mad at another man that they drive past his house and then they shoot from the car because they're too scared to get out of the car, you mm-hmm. know, for fear that he may retaliate. But
yeah.
you injure, like, random kids that are walking down the street. You shoot the wrong person. You know what I mean? Like, you cause all this, like, destruction, and you 9 times out of 10 don't even injure the person that you were after. And yeah, it's just
it's fucked up.
Yeah.
Right. So, you know, being from Chicago and growing up in the suburbs, I'm gonna read off some names to you, and I want you to give me the first word that comes to mind when you think of this person. Okay.
Okay.
Oprah Winfrey.
Oh, I hate Oprah Winfrey. Hate.
Okay.
I think she's fake.
There you go. Yeah. Bernie Mac.
Love.
Michael Jordan.
Ugh. Asshole.
Hey.
the greatest asshole. Yeah.
Okay, we'll go into that in 1 second. Okay.
Okay.
Barack Obama.
Love. Yes. Yeah. I'm gonna give you better words for this person. Okay.
Okay.
Barack Obama. Hope.
Okay. R. Kelly.
Damn it. oh my God. Mixed feelings. How about that?
Okay. Mr. T.
protector.
Okay. Erica Nicole Clark.
Bitch. the storyteller. How about that?
Yeah. Okay, I like that. Okay, so let's get back to Michael Jordan.
Okay, yes. Okay,
because I'm like I said, I'm a huge Bulls fan. I love Jordan. And and what you just said, you know, I've heard a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And it's like I would love to meet Jordan. Mm-hmm. But then the stuff I hear, like I think it would crush me if I ever met him and have to deal with some of the stuff I heard people say. So why would you say that about Jordan? What gives you that perception?
Well, okay, so you've never been to Chicago before, right?
No, ma'am.
Okay, so north of Chicago, it's called the North Shore, right?
Uh-huh.
And there are about six suburbs that are like it's Lake Forest, Highland Park, Winnetka, Wilmette, Kenilworth, and they're super, very like super duper upper middle class. Mm-hmm. So everyone who makes millions in Chicago lives in the North Shore. So, of course, every Chicago Bears player and every Chicago Bulls player lives in one of those neighborhoods. So you just end up seeing them quite often. You know, like mm-hmm. you go to the grocery store, it's like everybody has seen, you know, if you grew up in the North Shore, everyone's seen Michael or Scotty or Phil Jackson. Like you just see them, you know, because everybody's at the Jewel, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But my dad is a huge Bears fan. And my sister is married to a Bears player, a former Bears player. So it's like, you see the Bears all the time. And my dad mm-hmm. knew Michael, obviously. But so here's my asshole Michael story, right? I was 15, okay? And I took my parents' car out, right? Like just joyriding, right? With my best friend. Right. And I didn't have a license. I didn't have a permit yet. I didn't have shit. Right. We're just driving. And so my friend is like, we got to get your parents' car washed. Like, that'll put some good karma. Cause I kept being like, I'm going to get in a car accident. And then, like, I don't know if you ever hung out with white people, but like, all she's afraid of is like, oh, I'll get grounded. I'm like, I'm going to get the shit beat out of me. Like, I'm going to get grounded. So she's like, well, let's go get the car wash. It'll put out good karma. Fine. So we get the car wash, right? And then I didn't know, because I hadn't had driver's ed yet, I didn't know that if your foot is not on the brake of a car, like in the cars and drive, like it'll move forward, right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So we get the car wash. We get in the car. I put it in drive. And she's talking to me. And the car's moving, but I'm not noticing it. I'm not paying attention. And then I hear someone be like, ah, like blow their horn and I stomp on the brakes. And I almost like T-boned Michael Jordan, right?
Oh.
And I was like, he had to swerve and he's in his Porsche and he rolled down the window and was like, watch where the fuck you going. And I was like, oh. And me and my friend are like, oh shit, it's Michael Jordan. And I was like, oh my God. And he was like, you stupid motherfucker. Like, and then. Ooh. Drove up. I'm like, damn, we's only 15 years old. Like, oh my God. Michael Jordan just cursed us out at the car wash. Like, oh man. But when my friend, I was like, man, if I would have hit Michael Jordan, oh my God.
Like, ooh, I can just imagine.
I know. Oh my God. Damn. Oh my God. I would get killed by my parents. I'm driving. I'm not supposed to be driving. Yeah. But, yeah, like everyone is like it's funny if you ever meet anybody from the North Shore in Chicago, everybody has a Jordan fuck ups. Like he was fucking mean to them. He was friendly.
I used to work at the airport down here in Orlando, and you know, we have the main airport and then the part I had worked for the UPS planes and stuff, and there was like mm-hmm. a little shack where celebrities came, where their planes came.
Uh-huh.
So they said he would come, and as soon as he got off the plane, he went straight into his rental car, wouldn't say nothing to nobody, just drove off. You know, this was like a real, you know, arrogant person.
Uh-huh.
And like I said, man, I'm a huge Jordan fan, so that would crush me if I ever met him. He was like that, man. Oh, my God.
Right. Don't ever meet him. If you see him, just be like, oh, there he is.
All right, so Ms. Clark, tell everybody where they can get in touch with you on social media.
On Instagram, Erica Nicole Clark. On Twitter, comic Erica Clark. On Facebook, Erica Nicole Clark. That's pretty much it. I let the website down because I ain't doing no shows anyway. So,
Okay.
yeah, that's it.
All right, cool. Well, I appreciate you taking the time out to talk to me. It's been a pleasure.
It's
Keep
been a
in
pleasure
touch.
too.
Keep in
Okay.
touch. And if I'm ever in Chicago, I'm definitely going to hit you up. You can show me
I'm
around.
okay. I hope you
And
will. All
if you're ever down here in Orlando, hit me up, all right?
right. Okay. All right. Thank you so much, Anthony.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. This has been the beautiful, the talented, the funny Erica Nicole Clark. This is Sunise Unfiltered. We out. Thank you.
Thanks for tuning into Sunise Unfiltered podcast with your host, Anthony Sunise. Tune in again for more unfiltered discussions. Love, live life, and remember, all lives matter.